We are the true reality. We are the church. We are the family of God. We are to love one another, support one another, take care of one another. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bone. Amen? Oh, listen, we take care of our own people.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. We're delighted that you've joined us for the broadcast. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the epistle of 1 Timothy. He's entitled this next message, What's Worse Than an Unbeliever? So let's find out.
Amen. We're in 1 Timothy again, chapter 5, beginning a new section this morning. Now, this morning we're going to talk about, actually the topic or the title of the sermon is, What is Worse Than an Unbeliever? Let's say that together. What is worse than an unbeliever? Who said Democrat? Who is? No, I'm joking. I'm not political at all. You know, I'm not. No, it's just you have to have, you know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen? But here's what I want you to think about this morning. Timothy is a young man. He is reestablishing, he is rebuilding the church at Ephesus according to Paul's commands. How would you like to be a 33, 34, maybe 35, your old pastor, unmarried, and you are walking into a church like Ephesus that is full of all kinds of problems? I mean, Paul has to, he says, Timothy, you have to go there and you have to command these false teachers the sum that they teach no other doctrine. Remember, they were leading the people astray with fables and myths and fairy tales and genealogies and so forth. He says, Timothy, you've got to reinstate prayer in the church. They're no longer praying. And not only that, I want you to elevate the women to their rightful place. They're not being taught the Word of God, and I want them being taught the Word of God. And not only that, the leadership stinks. Now, Paul didn't say stinks, okay? In case you wanted to email me on that. Okay, he said, listen, you have to reestablish godly leadership in this church. And not only that, they are giving heed to doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. So would you say that Timothy had his hands full? Okay, remember this too, that no other epistle gives us, 1 Timothy gives us the most comprehensive instruction on church organization and church leadership in the entire Bible. A matter of fact, what is found in 1 Timothy is not even found in other epistles. Okay, so we have more information here. But this morning, as we look at this, remember that the theme of 1 Timothy is found in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And Paul writes unto Timothy and reminds him and tells him how he ought to conduct himself in the house of the living God, which is the pillar or the foundation of truth. Amen? Okay, now that we all have all of that under our belt, now we're going to move into another topic. We're going to cover a few verses about our relationship with one another, and then we're going to cover a topic that is rarely preached from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and that is the topic of what is a real widow, and so forth. So with all that being said, just a statistic here. It says there are 13 million widows in America. 800,000 are widowed annually, and most are under the age of 55. This morning, we're going to be talking about what is worse than an unbeliever from our scriptures. And let me say this and preface it before we get into the word this morning. You know, unless you have belonged to, let's say, a Calvary, okay, all your life or whatnot, or maybe a different type of denomination or something. You know, if you haven't been in a church that teaches through the Bible, you then have probably never heard a sermon on widows, okay? Especially, again, on a Sunday morning. And here's the deal that I'm so amazed by. And that is this, that when Paul writes this letter in all the verses that we have in 1 Timothy, do you know that the verses, this section before us right this minute, is the longest single section of this entire letter? There's 133 verses in Timothy, okay? And Paul is going to give 14 verses, or over 12% of them, to his concern about widows. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you kind of like to have known a little bit more about doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits? Do you think you would maybe like to have known who the some were who were teaching the false doctrine? Are y'all with me? Okay. But he doesn't do that. Now, those who say that Paul, you know, was anti-women, is that's such a horrible rap that Paul got. Paul loves women. He is so concerned about the widows there in Ephesus that he contributes, again, 14 verses concerning them. So this morning, as we look here, we're going to go, before we get into the widows, we're going to look in chapter 5, the first couple of verses there, that deal with Timothy's, the pastor, his relationship with the sheep, okay? So let's begin this morning in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 5. Paul tells Timothy, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. In other words, brothers mean you're equal. We're brothers one with another. Now, this command here is not telling Timothy, Timothy, now if you have an older person that is out of line, don't you ever, ever, ever rebuke that person. That's not what this is saying at all. The other thing is too, when it uses the word older man here, it's not talking about like the elders, the office of the elder, is talking about an older person, an older man. So what is Paul telling Timothy? He's telling him, he's giving him a word, this don't rebuke, only found here in the New Testament. And the word rebuke in the Greek literally means this. It means to strike at. In other words, to strike at an older person by being very, very harsh, are using loud, violent, cruel words or language and so forth. So Paul tells Timothy, don't ever, ever do that to an older person. Don't ever speak to an older person like that. He says, but I want you to exhort them, meaning parakaleo, to come alongside of that individual. Even though they could be mean, they could be doing something horrible in the church, he says, if he's an older man, you come alongside of him. That's tenderness. With love. And look what it says. You treat the older man as if he were your own father. Well, that's good advice, isn't it? Matter of fact, that's a command. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us this. He commands all believers. Listen to this. Leviticus 19:32. You shall rise before the gray-headed. And that's me. And it says, and honor the presence of an old man. And fear your God, for I am the Lord. You know, most of our kids today, you know, in the church, I think they probably treat the older people with some respect. Amen? But there are those that are young people that treat older people really bad. You know, because, you know, what happens is that, you know, like sometimes when I go out and I have to go, I don't know if y'all know this, I can barely hear out of this ear, okay? This is in the war. So I have to lean to hear you. And so I notice like the waiters, young waiters, it's like they want to say, can you not hear me? No, I can't, you know? But you don't have to be rude about it, you know? But I would never do that. But, you know, what they don't understand is that when you're kind of slow getting up or slow, like, you know, if you go to like Cane's, you ever go to Cane's, Raising Cane's? Don't go there. I went there one time and, you know, okay, here they have a person standing out there, right? And with your, to take your credit card, right? Yes. Okay, well, I've had my credit card and they're holding it and I'm trying to put it in and I'm shaking. And so they just look at me and I'm saying, why don't you do that for me, okay? I mean, that is just a tiny little slot, No. Now, he says here, now, concerning older women, it says, here's how you're to treat them. Older women, Timothy, as mothers, and younger women as sisters with, watch this, with all purity. What does that mean? Well, that means there's a possibility that, Timothy, you might happen to look upon your sister as not a sister. Does that make sense? And so forth. You know, so mothers, you know, I remember years ago, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but she was a member here for many, many years, at least once a month. That's when my office used to be up there in the holy booth up in the top. And at least once a month, she would call, I need to talk with Pastor Bill. And so she would come up and we would talk, and she was very, very old and very sweet, very kind. And she would lecture me on being a pastor, on what I needed to do, what I needed not to do. And it was okay. And so I would sit there for an hour. And sometimes she would scold me. Sometimes she wouldn't scold me. And it was just like my mother. And I treated her just like a mother, although I was glad when she finally left. But you understand? Amen. See, thank you, brother. So anyway, that's the way we're to treat one another. You know, even Paul the Apostle, you know, when he wrote the Magna Carta of the New Testament, Romans, in the 16th chapter, the 13th verse of Romans, he says to Rufus, chosen in the Lord, greet him and his mother who is mine. So Paul was talking about, you know what, your mom is just like my mom, and I love her so. So this, though, was just not for Timothy, these relationships that we just talked about. You know, this for the entire family of God. Listen, did you see the words again? Father, mother, brother, sister. Are those family words?
Yes.
Are we the family of God?
Yes.
Amen. And that's how we're to treat each other. Listen, we are the people of God. His own people, his own purchased possession. We're all accepted in the Lord. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Our names are all written in the book of life, God's book of life. We are his family. And not only that, listen to me, we're the church of the living God. But more and more than that, we are the body of Christ. And guess what? The head of the church, he governs the universe through us, the body of Christ. Now that is an unbelievable position, amen? And we should be loving one another, caring one another in this body, treating one another the way God would have us to do. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:25, it says this, there should be no schism or tearing apart or division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. For if one member suffers, all the members suffer. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with that individual. Amen? We are the body of Christ. We're members one of another. We're members of the Lord. And here it comes now, our sermon for this morning. It says, honor widows who are what? Who are really widows. Sometimes I want to say, now, Paul, listen. What, honor widows that are really widows. Is there a difference? A widow is a widow. Amen? A widow is a person, you know, who lost the person that she loves, that she spent her life with, who wanted to continue to spend her life with. And it says, Paul says, you need to honor those who are really widows. And I'll get into that in a moment. So when we look at that word honor, it means to give aid to. It means to care for. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to the church. He says, you are to honor, you're to care for real widows. What is a real widow? It is one who is left alone without any human support, no husband, no children, no family, absolutely nothing. Paul says, now that is a real widow. Now, you know, the thing that we need to see here is this. You know, in the first century, man, women had no rights at all. Can you imagine your husband dying and no one taking care of you and so forth? Most women then who were widowed, they ended up living on the streets, living in poverty, and they were begging. Do you understand? But even today, in most of the world, not thank God in America, I don't know how many, but I know this, in the majority of the world, widows, man, they are living in horrible poverty. And there's no one to take care of them. And so Paul, you know, he's lifting the women to their rightful place and so forth. So you got to take care of them. You know, listen, the Bible has so much to say about, say, widows, orphans, and so forth. Let me just give you a few scriptures of what God the Father, his love that he has for them. It says in Psalm 68:5, it says that God is a defender of the widows. Deuteronomy 27:19, God says this in his word, cursed is the man or the one who perverts the justice due the widow. In Exodus 22:22, you shall not afflict any widow. If you afflict them in any way, God says, and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. Psalm 146, 9, it says, the Lord watches over the widows. He relieves the widow in their distress. In James 1:27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. The word visit doesn't mean they just, I'm going to come over and have coffee. It means, it's not a social visit. The word visit means that you go to give aid to. Amen? Aren't you glad we take care of orphans in Mexico? I thank God for that. So what if you're here this morning, and we have many widows in Calvary Chapel, I want you to remember this. I know you know it, but just a refresher. God loves you. God is your defender. God is also your avenger. Amen? He will always take care of you when others will not. That's what God does, and that's what he is. Listen, God cares for all widows, but here, this topic this morning, he cares for all that are really widows. Look at verse 3. It says, give aid to, honor widows who are really widows. So, meaning those that are really alone again, and destitute, and devoid of any support. So, the early church cared for real widows, but they were not obligated to all widows. That's very important. Now look at verse 4. But if any widow, if they have children, grandchildren, let them, meaning the grown children, the grown grandchildren, first learn to show piety at home. Christianity always begins in the home. Amen? And so show piety at home. And look what they're to do. The grown children, it says they are to repay, say that word, repay their parents. Plural. Man, I underlined that one. That means mom and dad. Amen? Hey, never mind. No. So the church is not responsible. Oh, I didn't finish. I'm sorry. Repay. I got so excited. I was going to miss the best part. Repay their parents. Why? For this is good, acceptable, or literally it's well-pleasing before God. So welfare, if you will, aid the way God intended it to be. Exodus 20, verse 12, where the commandment, honor thy mother and thy father. So the church is not responsible for widows that have a family. Grandchildren and so forth, and children. It says, children, you're to repay your parents. Isn't God good? Man, I'm going to get Thomas, I'm telling you, you know? Oh, so, and let me say something. Really, taking care of aging parents is hard. It's not an easy task. I mean, boy, you think about all of that, and, you know, especially if they're sick and they're ill, and I mean, and then just, you know, when I go to the hospitals and so forth, it always just breaks my heart, or I have to visit the doctor's office, and I see the caregivers, their son or their daughter, and, I saw a guy the other day, older than me, and his dad was still alive, and he was helping him get into the doctor's office. It took 5 minutes to get from the door to the seat, was only 10 feet away, because he could barely move, and he had the walker and so forth. And I just started praying over them. You know what I mean? I mean, just praying for them. Oh, God, strengthen that man. Help his son. And how they go up to the nurse's station there and give him all the information. And the poor guy could barely hear. And so his son was yelling into his ear a little bit, trying to help him. Then he had to help him all the way back. Boy, you know, that's heartbreaking. But thank God that he had a son that would do that. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You know, and so, I mean, it can be difficult, as you know, to take care of the aging. You know, my grandmother, as I told the first service, so special in my life. I mean, I loved her. And You know, I knew more about my grandmother than I knew about my own mother and father. You know, and we were so close, and we lived on the farm and out there in Keller that she had. Like I told the first service, I never forget when she became a widow. I was 6 years old, and I was in the living room of that farmhouse, and my grandfather's name was Woody Thomas Pierce, and he was sitting in this big red chair that he always, that was where he sat. He had his little place to put coffee, you know, and back then they drank coffee, you know, they poured it in the saucer and drink it. Does anybody remember that? Thank you in the back row. Because they did. And you know. I'm going to talk to y'all. And so anyway, my grandfather had just had a terrible operation. And he wasn't fond of doctors. And he was a tough, tough old man. And he sat down. I'll never forget it. And my grandmother called him Dad. And she goes, Dad, we've got to go back to the hospital. And he says, Jesse, I'm not going. He said, I'm going to die right here in this chair. And he did. He died right there in that chair. And my grandmother became a widow right then. Well, I was only 6 years old. And I'm not going to tell you any more of this story. I can't believe I got so emotional. You know what was cool about my grandmother? She loved the Lord, but I had a dog. And I think I probably shared this years ago with you. I had a dog named Rennie. Hello, Ren 1010. But this was a collie, a beautiful collie. And that dog would sleep with me on the farm. And if he didn't get to come in the house, he'd sleep outside my window. And we all over wherever I went, he went. So I was with one of the hands out on the tractors in the back 40. There's 1,000 acres there that they farmed. And I was his name was Mr. Pipkin. And I was with him. And you know, remember the disc that rolled? Well, Rennie, my dog, is running along the side over there, and he wants to get in my lap. And I'm going, Rennie, stay back, stay back. And he went under the plow. And it cut my dog in half. And I know. Now, I'm 6 years old. I grab my dog. I mean, I'm going, oh. I mean, I'm weeping like a little boy. I was a little boy. I ran all the way back with my dog from the back 40 to the farmhouse, screaming for my grandmother. She came out on the porch just as calm as could be, looked at me and said, lay your dog down, Billy, right there. I laid him down. She went in the house, got some water. It was soapy water, and she had some catgut and a string and a needle, and she washed his insides out, sewed up his intestines, sewed him up, and he lived. Yeah. That's a true story. And then I took care of her the best that a six-year-old could. Now, it says here that we just learned that the widow's grown children, they have a responsibility to their parents. In other words, your parents raised you. You know, today we could say they put braces on your teeth, you know, and they did this and did that. They bought your clothes. They put you through college and all. You know what I'm saying? They raised you. So God says, now you take care of them when they get old. He didn't say that's going to be easy. Amen? But he said, that's what I'm requiring you to do. See, the honor thy mother and thy father is still a commandment. Amen? And not only that, did they have pensions back then? Did they have retirement back then? Did they have Social Security back then? No, they had absolutely nothing. So, you know, there's a Dutch proverb that says this about kids taking care of their family. It says, it frequently seems easier for one poor father to bring up 10 children than for 10 rich children to provide for one poor father. Or we could say, or one poor mother. Amen? Now, Jesus, you know what Jesus did on the cross? As he was bearing the sins of the world. Do you know he talked to two people. He leaned over and he talked to the thief on the cross. Amen. Today you'll be with paradise me forever. And then he talked to someone else. He looked down and he says, Mother, Mary, Mother, behold thy son. And it was John. John, behold thy mother. And from that hour, it says that John took Mary into his own home. Can you imagine our Savior on the cross, bearing the sin of the world, and yet his mind and heart was on his own mother. She was a widow. Joseph was not alive. But I wonder why Jesus didn't say to his half-brothers and half-sisters. Why don't you take care of them? Isn't that interesting?
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we encourage you to join us again. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.